Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host, and this is the second hour of the show for those of you that missed the first hour. The first hour is a local event show here in the Coachella Valley. Our second hour is all about travel. Joining us in the boardroom, as always, is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, a very informative first hour.
Right? It was.
Yeah, not so much just about the local events, because we did get to some of them, but our guest with the Felice from the Braille Institute and then Dr. Craig Ponder about finances.
Yeah, so, it was very informative.
Yeah, I know, and I really enjoyed that. So it was a little bit different. We had a couple guests on in the first hour, and in this hour of the show, we have a new guest as well. We have Joseph Zetti from Expert Repairs by Joseph. You know of his store that's in the Westfield Mall, top level.
Right.
And he's one of those where you go in there and he does all these, can fix all these things, watches and eyeglasses and all. And we're going to find out about that. But the reason I had him on in this hour of the show is he just returned from Thailand. And I think it was his first trip to Thailand. I'm not sure, but he went to places different than he normally goes. So we're going to find out about his trip too.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So I thought that fit with the travel, because you know me, I'll probably start asking them all these questions and then we'll go all over the place. So great to have everyone here today. All right. Today's show is presented by Coachella Valley Volkswagen, the official transportation provider of Traveling with Françoise. The Quartzsite bus trip information will be up this week. It is going to be January 31st. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to be in a luxury bus with a restroom in it. And I always make sure we have a ton of fun on the bus as well. The number to call for our prize today, we have one prize. It is a $25 gift certificate to Johannes Restaurant in Palm Springs. And that number is 760-440-8255. I will be mailing that out to the winner. So again, that number is 760-440-8255. We will give it away because Sean is going to remind me this time in the next segment of the show. You're not going to let me forget.
I won't.
I do it every time. All right. Let's see. I was not on KESQ yesterday, but I'll be back there next week for a look at Borrego Days coming up. Right, I mean, just before you know it, it's October 20th through 22nd. It's here, and we have two bands from the Coachella Valley, five bands total in the parade. So it's this parade. We have, we're going to have close to 100 entries. And then, of course, there's all the stuff going on at Christmas Circle. And just it's going to be a really fun weekend. We have the skateboarders that are going to do some exhibition down the main drag. Street Luge, oh, this huge, gigantic American flag. So it's going to be just bigger and better. Every year it gets bigger and better, and that's out in Borrego Springs, only 70 minutes away from Palm Desert here and 90 from Palm Springs. And if you're in Coachella, it's only an hour, and it's a beautiful drive, a really interesting drive. On TV right now, I'm playing a new episode each week of Traveling with Françoise, and that airs on Fox 11 at noon on Thursdays and 5:30 a.m. on Fridays. And it's funny. I'm just meeting all these people, Sean, that it's as if all of a sudden we have a whole bunch of new listeners that are saying, when I go places, Françoise, I saw you on TV, whether it was KESQ or Fox,
right,
or here on the radio. It's kind of weird. Or maybe,
but it's a good thing.
I know, but maybe they're hearing my voice now and they're starting to put a voice and a face
together.
I'm telling
you, you are turning into like this media mogul, and yeah. I think they've gotten to where they can't escape you, even if they wanted to.
Well,
I mean, they don't, but if they did, they couldn't.
Well, it's really sweet because it's really cute how people do it.
Right.
You know, they don't, they kind of walk over and either whisper to me.
Well, because like I said, with the mogul comes that they all think you're busy, so they don't want to bother you. They know you're doing things. You're moving and shaking.
It really is sweet. It's really cute the way they do it. In fact, when I was out at the Salton Sea doing the video for the Visitor Center, you'll see the new video in the Visitor Center at the Salton Sea State Recreation Area. Cameraman Steve Tangi and I are doing that for them. We're putting it all together. And there was a lady that we had some people in the Visitor Center stage extras.
Right.
Just so, and looking at different things, sort of to point it out, you know, make it pop a little more.
Right.
And she said, "Oh my gosh, Françoise, it's like I know you." I said, "Well, you do know me."
Yeah, they do. I mean, you are the same in front of the mic and in person.
All right. Well, enough about me. It's not about me. So let's move on from that side. But I just think it's really cute. So thank you, all of you out there that do it. And remember, always go to the website, Traveling with Françoise, because that's where all the information is for our sponsors, what's coming up on the next show, our contest page, our trips. Everything is on that website, Traveling with Françoise. All right. We have a lot to talk about in industry news. course, we had some terrible things happen last week. And they already, the hotels are already thinking of what they're going to do. We're going to get to that.
Right.
But we tried. Sean and I talked about this before we went on the air. We have decided that we're going to keep it light and keep going. We all know how horrific it was.
Right.
And just horrible. But we're going to keep right on moving. And let's have a little breather from it if we possibly can. So I found this survey about who is the American road tripper. I like that. And I saw that. This, you know, these things always catch my eye. I like all this stuff. It says, are your road tripping clients? This is talking to travel agents. And I have never heard of these names that they call them. Griswolds.
You never heard of the Griswolds?
No.
You're kidding me.
Is that a TV? Is that a movie?
Yes. That's the Chevy Chase movies.
Oh.
The National Lampoons. Those are the Griswolds.
Well, do you know the Griswolds are considered the millennials and the Gen X families who take multiple road trips each year.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're called now by travel agents. So they even gave you guys a label out there. Or are they affluent couples with children, the well-to-goes? Or perhaps they are baby boomers, which are retired on tires. These are all these names they've given people. Or the outdoor-loving freewheelers. I like that one.
The freewheelers?
The freewheelers. Not that I'm out. I love outdoors, but,
no, but that's
with a
cool
hotel
name.
Room. Yeah. So we have all these names that we don't even know about that the travel agents in their inside, this is inside lingo, call us either the Griswolds, the well-to-goes, the retired on tires, or the freewheelers. So they say no matter what category that these people fall into, travelers are hitting the open road in masses. Of course, this year has been one of the busiest travel years ever.
Oh, yeah.
And dollars spent and places visited, national parks. It's been huge. So here is the breakdown of what they have as far as the American road tripper. 46% of American travelers are considered road trippers.
Oh, yeah?
So they're out there on the road taking these trips by vehicle, whether it's motorcycle, cars, RVs, whatever. $5,130 is forecasted to be spent by each road tripper in the next 12 months.
That's five grand.
That is good.
And I'm sure it's spread out because they're road tripping.
Right, because they're going. And yeah. Sometimes it's an overnight stay. Sometimes it's a day trip. Otherwise, it's a 3 or 4 or a week trip. Okay, 56% of Griswolds seek out specific attractions or activities in new destinations.
I mean, that's how I like to move around.
You know,
if I go somewhere, I want to know where I'm going to go.
And that's a big number, though. 56% going to a new destination.
Yep.
Because people sort of fall in a rut
and
want to go to the same place year after year after year.
They don't like change.
Right. 55% of freewheelers say they will return to the place they've already visited. And the freewheelers are the baby boomers that love the outdoors.
That makes sense.
So
that makes sense because they are probably they're older, so they've done more and they know what they like now. Makes sense.
And 45% of retired on tires prefer printed visitor guides during the travel planning process.
That makes sense, too. They want a little extra help.
You know what? I am finding that people now are using maps for backup because as great as our phone is, there are a lot of times that it takes you somewhere completely different.
Yeah, and what's funny is I remember we had when we went to we were going somewhere and I had printed directions. And so in the car they were giving me a hard time like why are you printing directions? We all have maps. I'm just like I just want something else there. I need something else there for me.
Yeah.
And I got given a hard time pretty much the whole way, the whole drive.
Well, I know I have been on and sometimes your GPS will give you a good shortcut.
Oh yeah.
However, that shortcut might take you up over a mountain that you hadn't planned on going out.
Well, we did that, too, when we were coming back, and we were in an area that was just, I don't know where we were. I still don't know where we were.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was driving through canyons, and I'm just like, I don't know if we're going to get out of here.
Right. And it was spectacular, but sometimes our comfort level, it can make us a little nervous because you don't have any idea where you are. So it does not hurt now to have a map or print it out, do a you know a MapQuest thing. I do that when I travel. Even though I use my GPS in the car, I always have a MapQuest
just
handy.
A backup.
Yeah, because I have been one time I went to Carlsbad, and the weather was really bad once I got out of the valley. It was raining. It was stuff, and my GPS was not working right.
Oh, really?
A low cloud cover. And it took me way around to get to where I was going.
Really?
It was ridiculous. And ever since then, I said, okay, I was a nervous wreck by the time I got there because it was raining so hard. And I looked at my I did have some directions, but I don't even know why I didn't use them. But then I thought from now on, I'm going to compare both and just kind of keep a little track when I'm going there if they kind of match up.
Yeah,
because it was kind of scary. But anyway. All right. On that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to give away that $25 gift certificate to Johannes Restaurant in Palm Springs. That number is 760-440-8255. We have some industry news and a lot more. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio 1200 AM and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. All right, this segment is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. They have all these free services over there. Please take advantage of the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, 760-321-1111. And again, remember that all our sponsors' information is on the website, Traveling with Francoise. Okay, are we ready for this? I think we are. United Arab Emirates, with a whirling buzz from 18 rotors, a pilotless helicopter gently lifted off the ground and soared up into the afternoon sky.
It'll be interesting.
They say this is called a volocopter. It is a flying taxi.
But it flies like a normal helicopter,
yeah,
correct?
Why can't they have a pilot in this? I mean, what's the problem?
The funny thing is, I think a lot of times there will be a pilot in there. He just won't be doing anything. As a safety precaution, I think they'll have a second. There'll be a pilot in there.
You would think. They say this is a model of a flying autonomous taxi. This is the whole idea. They say the gridlock is horrendous in Dubai. So they're trying to think of a way to, of course, technology. So now they are trying out these pilotless helicopters. So they're just going to be small helicopters. They say they want them to be affordable, the same, not any more expensive than using Uber or a cab or whatever. How they're going to do that, I'm not sure. It probably depends on how far you're going to go in the helicopter. But it's the future. I don't know if anybody out there, if you read J.D. Robb, I think that's what it is. And it's an anonymous writer.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like a ghost writer. I can't think of what they call him. But anyway, I read her books. I think it's her. I don't know. But the story is set in 2050.
2050?
78 and things like that. And they talk about cars that lift up and go over other cars.
See, I don't think we'll need that. I think that all the cars will be auto anyways. They don't need to lift up and go over cars.
Well, and they talk about these sky balloons that go through the sky with advertising. That's where they do a lot of the advertising in the sky with these balloons. And they talk about, this right here of driverless planes and stuff flying around. So it's really interesting. It's happening, folks. It is happening. All right. What else is happening is we do have that $25 gift certificate to Johannes Restaurant in Palm Springs. Give us a call, 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. I will mail this out. You cannot have won this in the last 30 days, and it doesn't have an expiration date on it. So give us a call, and you're going to Johannes in Palm Springs with a $25 gift certificate. All right. Other stuff in the news, to be or not to be. Yes, out at the Ojai Valley Beach Club, the property is unveiling an all-new on-site apiary and beekeeping program for guests. I never thought about this. I don't know. Clients will don a full beekeeping suit for their guided tour of the hives at nearby Mistletoe Meadows, where they will learn about the importance of bees in the ecosystem. They are very important. The tour is followed by a tasting of raw honey from local makers on the patio of the inn's new apiary. I think I said that right. Afterwards, guests will receive honey-themed parting amenities. So there you go. All right. Well, if you want to do that, it's at the Ojai Valley Inn and Spa in Ojai, California. So that's a new experience. Definitely something different. You know, the resorts and hotels, and they're all trying to come up with new things for you to do and experience when you are there at their property. Also in the news, American Express adds two Centurion lounges. American Express says its two newest Centurion lounges will open in October. The Hong Kong location will open Monday, October 2nd, which is already open, while the Philadelphia location is set to begin welcoming travelers in late October. And the Philadelphia location initially has been targeted for a summer opening. The Centurion Lounge is a luxe line of airport clubs run by American Express, the first of which opened in Las Vegas in 2013. The roster of locations will grow to 9 once the Hong Kong and Philadelphia sites open up. I have a friend that started working for American Express, their high-end travel membership, and he said it is fascinating what the people have to go through working with American Express. He said they really want to offer their clients the highest in customer service. He had he's right now in a 12-week training course to book trips for American Express members. Yeah, and he had to know about all the continents, and he was telling me, he says, wow, I was going back to school. It was really something. And he goes, what we forget, we don't remember what we forget. But anyway, definitely American Express, they are working hard to get everyone's business. Also, Hilton Worldwide Holdings has plans to spend $50 million over the next 5 years to add 100 hotels to its chain in Africa. It is joining other chains that are keen to tap the growing business in international travel on the continent. One property will open in Kenya capital Nairobi by the end of this year, and another in Rwanda capital Kigali in 2018. So they are spreading. I hear that travelers are definitely going on the safaris and all the different options that are offered there. Safaris are huge, really huge. We just talked to Steve Canold. Came back with ACT, Adult Customized Tour, with a trip to Kenya, and it was incredible. Sean, yes?
Yes, you had a winner.
Yeah, and who was that?
It was Jean from Palm Desert.
All right, well, congratulations.
I almost had her on, but she said to express her appreciation, though.
Oh, did she? Oh, well, thank you so much. Jean, congratulations. You won that $25 gift certificate to Johannes in Palm Springs. All right. So here's more industry news. Americans should apply or renew their passports before January because processing times are shortest between September and December. That's the word from the U.S. State Department, which each year declares September to be passport month. Yes, demand for passports typically heats up in the new year and continues in the summer. If you want to get your passport back quickly, now is the time to apply or renew. By the way, more than 18 million passports were issued in 2016 fiscal year, setting a record. The agency's website is expected the number to hit 20 million this year. Oh, push your button.
How much of that do you think is New Year's resolutions?
To
travel more. That's not a bad resolution.
It's a great resolution to travel more. But remember too, and I say this just as a neutral party, but remember when the election, all these people that were going to leave
the United States,
yeah, they all wanted to get passports and all this. Well, you know, I'm a big Cher fan, but she was out of here and she's still here tweeting away. So I don't think a lot. But I think too, people can use their passports for identification now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just kind of getting one is sort of a badge of honor type thing now too.
Mine's expired. I think I need a new one.
Yeah, they're good for 10 years, so you better.
I think it's been more than 10 years.
Oh, you should be able to just send it in though.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think
I didn't know that. That'd be even easier. I thought I had to go through the whole process
again. You should be able to send it in, I think. Just go online and check. Because now you have to probably send a new picture and stuff, but that's pretty simple. A lot of these postal annex, they'll do that for you. So. All right. Carnival, I have to look at the time there. Carnival Cruise Line, Norwegian Cruise Line, and Royal Caribbean Cruises insist that Cuba is safe for tourists and will continue with their scheduled Havana calls, despite a warning by the State Department advising Americans not to visit the island nation. They say a lot of the problems that was happening on the islands there, Cuba, was towards American diplomats, not so much the visitors. That's what they're saying. The call is yours, though. A recent Virtuoso survey shows 26% of its advisors reported that clients are waiting up to 6 months to visit Florida and the Caribbean, and 46% said clients are seeking warm weather spots that were not in the paths of Hurricanes Maria and Irma. Makes sense to me. And Celebrity Cruises will give its 9 ships a $400 million renovation by 2023, which will include new configurations and designs for all staterooms, as well as new lounge and dining concepts. This is the largest investment our brand has ever made to modernize our fleet. So, and it's getting crazy with these ships. What, the last one I talked about a couple of weeks ago has a go-kart track on the top? There's some with driving ranges. I mean, what next? I thought we're trying to get away from some of that stuff, but they're bringing it back on. United Airlines launched a new voluntary overbooking compensation system. We talked a lot about this on the show, that will notify passengers upon checking in if they may be on a flight with potential overbooking problems. The notification will give passengers several compensation options online, and if the gate agent chooses to rebook one or more passengers, travel vouchers will be issued. I still don't get it. Why would you overbook and then pay these people an exorbitant amount of money to give up their seat?
There's something that we're missing.
There is something.
There's something. There's no way. Businesses are out to make money. The way that we see it is it's losing money. So there has to be something in there.
Something that we just don't.
I think that should raise the most questions. What are we not being?
Right. What are we missing?
I mean, it sounds
here?
Like a conspiracy theory, but there's something, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, now they're even launching a new voluntary overbooking compensation system. So that means they're still going to continue to overbook. I don't know. I don't get it. All right, and here's something that we want to bring up. The security procedures at hotels across the U.S. currently are not designed to stop an attack like the one that happened in Vegas. But now this has really woke a lot of people up. I'm going to say it that way. They're thinking about now screening the bags when people come in. They're trying to think of all these different options that they have. The biggest problem that they're facing at this point is a lot of people tend to check in at certain times, and they don't want these large masses of people in the lobby. Because that right there is a bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
They try to keep them spread out. So they're all sitting back and trying to figure out a way to be able to do this without making it slower, check-in slower. X-raying bags is certainly one of them. I don't know. We'll see what they come up with. I'm sure there will be a lot of changes for us, folks. On that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, Joseph is here from Expert Repairs. We have a lot to talk about. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to Traveling with Francoise, everyone. Great to have you with us today. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. This segment of the show is brought to you by Angel View March throughout the Coachella Valley and beyond. Travelers learn quickly that we don't need a lot of stuff when we travel. Well, that holds true for our homes, RVs, and boats, and life in general. So where do you take those new or gently used items? You take them to Angel View. Your donation helps to fund the many programs Angel View offers its clients with life-changing disabilities. For more info, visit angelview.org. That's angelview.org. And remember, all of our sponsors' information is on the website, Traveling with Francoise, to make it really easy for you. All right, joining us in studio for the very first time, we've been talking about Joseph and Expert Repairs. What, for the last month or so? Every week I've been telling you a little bit more about what Joseph does, but he is in studio with us today. Joseph Zetti, great to have you.
Thank you, Francois. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this will be fun. Yes. Because you do some crazy stuff there at Expert Repairs.
I try my best. Yes.
All right. Now, I had you on the travel portion of the show because in just a little bit, we're going to talk about your trip to Thailand.
All right.
But before we do that, I wanted our listeners to find out a little bit about you. Who is Joseph at Expert Repairs? Tell us, first of all, what do you do at Expert Repairs?
Well, in Expert Repairs, what we specialize is watches, jewelry, clocks, engravings, laser fixing eyeglasses, ring sizing up to 1 hour, setting diamonds, batteries, watch bands. You know, anything we can do, anything like that we can try to fix, I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I love about your store is we can just bring stuff in and say, Joseph, can you fix this?
Yes,
and with our jewelry and glasses and all sorts of stuff, and you're either going to go yes, which more than likely he's going to say yes, or you'll say, that one's a goner. But that's, you do a variety of things, and not only do you repair all sorts of items there, and the ring sizing, same day ring sizing, you also sell watches and clocks and all sorts of stuff there. I don't think people realize that you're also a store that sells items.
Well, you know, I've been in the mall now, it's almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have different companies, so watches, no high-end watches, but average watch is like a couple $100.
Uh-huh.
Seiko Season, Bulova, Casio G-Shocks, Timexes. And, you know, people, they need those watches for every day. And they are, if they break, they're not too expensive. So, yeah.
Well, and that's how I found you, is because all of a sudden I decided to start wearing watches again when I travel.
Yes.
And I did this because I was tired of pulling out my phone all the time. You know,
exactly.
People tend to look at that phone, and it would be in my purse. It would be in my bag. I would be holding a clipboard when I'm doing work while I'm traveling. And I thought, this is ridiculous. And plus, a watch, you can kind of glance down at it and not look so obvious as you do with a phone. So yeah. That's how I came in and looking around, and you put batteries in all my watches for me. And it was it was great. So Expert Repairs, folks, is on the top level of the Westfield Mall in Palm Desert. So definitely you want to go on over there. I have two listeners that have been over there that I know of that told me both of them end up buying a watch.
That's right, yeah.
And they took in a watch to get the battery.
Yes, and my employee told me. They said to him, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's funny. But no, I love your no story. So now how does a person get into fixing watches? It doesn't seem like the obvious career choice for a lot of people. How did this happen with you?
Well, it's a little bit different for me because, first of all, I grew up in Europe, in Croatia, and I wasn't really good in a school. So my mom and my father, they tried to save me. When I was 15, they just sent me to watchmaking school because it was next door, it was free. And honestly, back then I hated.
Yeah.
I hated, but I learned my trade. And after I learned my trade, I would go to different places to work something else. I just don't want to do watch repair. I want to do this. I work in the restaurants and this and that. But after a while, I would always come back to do watch repair because that's what I knew, and jewelry. So eventually grows on me, and here I am after doing it for about almost 40 years.
Wow.
I learn. So I mean, I'm comfortable with.
It's a fascinating story because 15
yes.
years old and your parents sending you to watch repair school.
To save you, yeah.
Yeah, to save you. And you're
to learn
thinking,
something.
To learn something, and you're thinking all the kids your age are out doing whatever they're doing. They're certainly not going to watch repair school. Was there a point when it kind of clicked? Because I know you love what you do. Every time I go in there, you're always back there fixing something, and you have all the glasses and all the stuff that go on it. Was there ever, when was the turning point where all of a sudden you became, I'm going to say obsessed or hooked, I'm trying to think of a word, that because I can tell that you really enjoy what you do. When was that turning point that you said, this is what I really want to do?
Well, you know, after a while, after school was boring again to me, but yeah. After a second year, we have a practice. And you know, when you start practicing, and then I have some old watch masters, we call them, that they were really, really good. And they were really strict. And I learned not only watch repair, but discipline and all that comes mm-hmm. with. So then I saw that that could be really my future. And it was always a nice and clean job, and they were always there to help me and to teach me whatever I want to learn. So actually, I never been to school to do jewelry, but next building was jewelry repair. So I start to kind of go in there on my own and start mm-hmm. doing jewelry also.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's how I start.
Huh. And I find it fascinating because it seems so tedious to me.
Yes.
It would be, I'm very impatient. I want something done now. So I could see I'd break a watch. If I even opened up a watch, I'd break it. Joseph, what is
yes.
the most common problem with a watch when someone brings it in?
Well, depends. You know, most of these everyday watches are battery operated, and most of the time they need batteries only.
Okay.
You know, but these old wind-up watches and collectible watches like Rolexes, they are automatic, mm-hmm. so means they are they need to be serviced every once in a while. You
oh.
know, 3 to 5 years. It's like a car. You know, if you drive car on same oil for 10 years, you're going to blow up the engine.
Hmm.
So same thing with the watch. It's going good and good. Some people, they buy new watch Rolex, they don't service us for 15 years or is doing good, but after 15 years stops, and when you open, sometimes the parts falling literally out on the table because it's way overdue, like 10 years.
Oh, really? So here you learn something right there. You need to service your watches. And what about
mechanical
the
ones,
your mechanical watch? Now, what about the big clocks on the wall? I have a tick, I call it a tick-tock, a chime, a clock.
Yes.
Those need to be cleaned and serviced also.
Well, that's how actually I started learning. First thing in a school, they start teaching you on the clocks because they are bigger and they easier maybe to do. But the principle is the same. You know, if you open a grandfather clock or, say, automatic watch, Rolex, Tahuro, or anything, the principle is the same pretty much. So clocks, the same things. They need to be serviced, and they have this wheel. They run around. You know, when something goes around, and they're made most of the time of the brass, if you don't put oil, they're going to break, you know.
Hmm.
So they should be like serviced at every 3 years, at least to put oil and check it out.
Everybody's looking at their watches now at home going, huh, now clock that's been on the wall for 20 years. Maybe it's time I do. No wonder it's not keeping time anymore that I have to keep.
And by the way, we do have, I used to do clocks, but I don't have time. So I have a gentleman by name Les for 10 years. And he's a retired clock repairman. He used to have business in the Palm Springs, but for the last 10 years, he does my clocks and goes to people's houses. And the smaller clocks, people, they bring her in.
Yeah, I brought in this. I have this big round wand clock.
Remember,
I brought this clock.
That was a battery operator.
We've had that clock for, 20-some years or so, and I am so used to glancing up. It's a big round clock on the wall. When I took it down to bring it over to you, I was lost in the house because that clock was gone. Because you don't realize how often you glance at a clock during the day.
I know. When it's not there, then you glance. Yeah.
All right. So Expert Repairs by Joseph Folks in the Westfield Mall. Top level up there. And I love your slogan. If it doesn't tick, talk to Joseph.
Thank you.
I like that. All right. So before we shift gears and talk about your traveling, I think we'll go ahead and take this break now and kind of get that out of the way. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about your first time going to Thailand. You always went to Europe. We'll find out the whole story. We're going to hear about your travels. Folks, you're listening to Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We are talking to Joseph Zetti. He is the owner of Expert Repairs at the Westfield Mall in Palm Desert, top level there. We're talking about his business in the first portion of this show, or the last segment of the show, but now we're going to talk about your travels, Joseph.
Right.
Yeah, you just got back from Thailand.
Yes.
Now, before we talk about Thailand, let's talk about you travel in general. You told me when we were just chatting over at the store that you had a tendency to go to the same place over and over and over. So tell us where that was.
Well, like I said, I was born in Europe, in Croatia, which is my island where I was born, in 60 miles east from Italian border.
Oh.
It's named KRK, Kirk Island, KRK, that's how it's spelled. And again, I've been in the U.S. for almost about 30 years, and whenever a chance I have, because I have my mom and my brother there and family, and I go there to visit. So every year or every other year, I end up in the same place. After a while, I'm just bored to go to Europe because it's just same thing. So for a long time, I want to see China or some Far East countries, but I never went until this like a month ago.
Okay. So now, did you go on this trip alone? Did you have somebody with you? I mean, because a lot of people, I'm just trying to set the setting here. Was it because some people, solo travel is a big deal, or did you go with family? Or
okay. Well, it's all connected to my business. I went by myself. I also do, I didn't mention this, I love art. And I do paint in oils for last 15 years or maybe 20. And I never sold really my paintings. I give to my friends or they stay in my house, but I like it.
You do it because you enjoy doing it. Yes.
When I have time. Sometimes I don't do it for a year, then I go again back to it. And so anyways, I went to Pasadena school for a while, a long time ago, like almost 20 years ago, art school. And then different art teachers. And recently, like maybe 6 months ago, I met this wonderful lady. Her name is Pamela. And her husband, Dan, they live in Palm Desert. And same like you, Francis, they came to my store to fix something. And then we start talking about art because she asked me who does my art. And I say, I do. You like it? Well, she goes, it's good. And then I was surprised. Uh-oh. Because everybody usually say, it's very good. But she, so I find out she was art teacher all her life. And then I asked her to teach me, and then she, I don't know, I don't teach anymore. But eventually, to make long story short, she did teach me.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was really happy and thankful about that. But then I find out that she used to live in Thailand for 4 years. And every time I go there, she would talk to me about Thailand. And actually, she wrote a book on life in Thailand, and she gave me one, and I read it, and then I was really, really interested. So I went there at home, and I booked the trip. And
So you booked the trip. How long were you in Thailand?
I was 10 days.
10 days?
10 days.
So what was it in the book that made you say, okay, this is it. I want to go to Thailand.
Well, first of all, I want to experience a different culture. You know, how they think, how they, like everyday people. That's what I was really interested in, how they live day to day. And I really, really recommend that place. And it was really exciting for me.
Well, I heard it's fantastic. I've never been. Now, where did you stay? At an American hotel? Where did you stay?
Okay, so I booked this trip, and it was to three different places. First, I flew through China to Bangkok. And then I stayed there about 3 or 4 days. And then I have already pre-booked all these trips around the city. Every day was a different place to go see.
With a tour guide or without?
Well, you print out these vouchers, and then in a hotel, you call the day before. They know you in the hotel, and they pick you up.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do, and you show them voucher, your name, and they take you like little car to the bus, and bus takes you eventually to Buddha temples or wherever you want to see that day.
Okay.
So it was actually too busy for 10 days. It would be nice like 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're trying to scram it all in.
But, so I did Buddha temples, floating markets. That's what I want to see. I was reading about that. The markets and the whole town is on the water.
Yeah.
And you buy things and, you know. And then I went to see long neck tribes in a jungle.
Oh, wow.
Then I went rafting in a jungle. It was like raining and we are rafting.
Yeah.
And I fell out twice and they rescued me.
You're here, so
I'm
good.
I'm here. And then I took pictures leaning on on a tiger. Pictures with tigers that were very exciting to me because his head is like huge and I was a little bit scared, but they are controlled.
Yeah.
And then I see the elephant painting pictures, like art. It's unbelievable. They really paint and they put this art picture for sale. I mean, they are simple, like maybe 5-year-old kid, but it's really amazing.
And this was just in Bangkok?
No, this was in Bangkok. Okay. This is all together.
All together.
Bangkok,
okay.
Then I went an hour and a half to Chiang Mai. Chiang Mai city, closer to Chinese border. You fly from Bangkok about hour and a half. And then that was 3 days. And last trip was down south to Phuket Islands.
Which I hear is gorgeous, gorgeous.
Unbelievable.
So you did this on your own. How quickly did you feel comfortable and immersed in the culture?
Well, you know, first day I get there, it was midnight, and I check in a hotel, and it's 14 hours difference in time, and I cannot sleep. And I'm so excited to be there. I just want to see a little bit outside. So I start walking around the hotel, and it was train and people, like 1 in the morning, like it's 11 in the morning, a lot of people. And I was scared it's safe.
Yeah.
But honestly, the more I walk around, the more safe I felt. I didn't see any homeless. Nobody asked for money. Nobody looked at me in bed. So I really felt comfortable.
So now, were you in your travels? Were you going to the restaurants that the locals go to? Were you trying to do that to stay away from just the Americanized restaurants?
Yes, I did.
And tell us about the food in Thailand.
Well, because I grew up on island, I really love fish. So every day I would go like in a small restaurants, which is really inexpensive, or you can really eat on the street because they make their food on little carts.
Yeah.
And it's really clean, and you can really get a dish with a fish, like some side salad and drink, for about $4 American. And this is a lot of food. And that was fun. Every day something. I mean, I didn't like everything because they use different spices.
Right.
But I would say 80%, I love it.
But you were trying everything, which makes it so fun.
Yeah.
How quickly... because, again, you said you'd always went to Europe every year after year after year. How quickly were you there when you said to yourself, I am so glad that I did this?
That was after first day when we have this tour that we went to see Buddha temples and the floating markets. And it was really comfortable, just, you know, different cultures. I never seen those things only on TV. And especially we went to see this market, very, very small one that's close to floating markets, where they have a little market and the train goes through. I seen that on TV. So they do business. They have little tables and the train is coming. So they move tables away. So train goes through like very slowly. And once it goes through, they put it back those tables on the train track.
So that would be fun right there just watching. I'm sure you took 1,000 pictures.
Yes,
and,
I did.
What place? You were at three different places,
yes.
Right? You were in Bangkok. You were...
Chiang Mai is a city north, close to the Chinese border, kind of.
Okay, and then the third place?
It was Phuket. Phuket Islands.
Phuket, right.
All the way south, which is from Chiang Mai, you have to fly about an hour and a half.
Yes. Out of the three, if you were given the choice to just be able to go to one and spend a week there,
yes,
which one would it be?
Definitely Chiang Mai.
And why?
Because, I mean, you know, I'm 50 years old. Bangkok is nice, but it's 8 million people.
Okay.
It's huge. And a lot of traffic. You take taxi, you get stuck. Phuket is more for young people. They have this, they call Patong Beach, very nice scenery, PP Islands and all that. But it's, again, too crowded.
Mm-hmm.
It's more expensive. But Chiang Mai is north and it's like a mellow city and a lot of things to see, and I like it the best.
And how about your lodging in all three places? Were you hotel? What type of hotels were you in?
Well, I booked all this through internet. I didn't know, but they were like four stars hotels, and really, really nice and humble people. I mean, they do everything for you. They open door. You don't even touch the door of the hotel. If you have to open, they open it for you. And they really do step up. And what I learned is they put hands in the praying position,
right?
And they say thank you all the time. So I did the same thing. And the only thing I learned is Kapun Ka, that's thank you. So I was doing the same thing.
There
Kapun Ka all day, and you smile, and they love you.
And they appreciate it. They
yes.
appreciate the fact
yes.
that you even tried. And it took you quite a while to get there, 14 hours to get where you were going.
Yes.
And so three different places, and the people were so nice. Is there any one thing that stands out to you that surprised you, that you didn't think that you would either see this or feel this or on a trip like this, your first time to Thailand, to these three different places? Is there something that really took you, that surprised you?
Well, the only thing is, no, everything was organized and I didn't have any problems that I can think of. The only thing on the end was to make a story fast on the Phuket Islands, that I flew from Chiang Mai and I check in again very late, around midnight. I was tired. I went to sleep.
Uh-huh.
In the morning, in the room, my phone rings in the room. So I'm picking up, hello. And some man said, Joseph, you need to go pee pee. And I go, who is this? No, I don't. I thought somebody's playing game with me. Just leave me alone. I need to sleep.
Yeah.
So I hang up. I slept 2 more hours. I go downstairs, small hotel. This lady in the lobby goes, is you Mr. Joseph? I say, yeah. Well, we called you this morning to go to PP Islands. Oh, I missed it. No, he didn't say islands.
He didn't say islands.
So, well, it's
you
okay. You can go tomorrow.
I can go tomorrow. And English. Did a lot of people speak English?
Well, honestly, basic. Yeah, even taxis, everybody speaks English basics. But in the lobbies of hotels, they do a really good job.
Wow.
But like in the restaurants, here and there.
Okay.
Not much.
So next year. Or on your next trip, where are you going to go? You're going to go Europe or Thailand?
Next year, I have to go to Europe to see my mom. She's 93 years old.
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
For sure, But after that, I'll see.
You'll see where you go. Now that you have a taste of a different adventure, who knows where you'll go?
I don't know.
I know. That's fantastic. Well, Joseph Zetti, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. It's been fun having you on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, and remember, folks, Expert Repairs inside the Westfield Mall, top floor up there. Take it all in there. If you even have a question, you don't know whether it's fixable or not, my suggestion is just take it over there to you and let you guys look at it, and you'll let
them know.
Yeah, definitely. And the phone number over there is 760-776-0800, like top level. Anyway, all the information is on Traveling with Francoise. All right, next week on the show, I don't know, Sean, we have a lot going on next week. I don't even have it in front of me.
I don't know why. Yeah, and I think you told me to.
Yeah, I know I told you, but I don't know. I didn't even put it on here. So anyway, everyone, I want to thank you all for joining us today. Gene, congratulations to our winner of that $25 gift certificate to Johannes. Remember, go to the website, sign up. I have that two-night stay at the Kona Kai on Shelter Island in San Diego. That is a beautiful, beautiful setting. Sign up for that. It's a free contest. It includes dinner as well. And the only way you can sign up for that is to go to the Traveling with Francoise website. It is right there up front and center, so make sure you sign up for that. We'll draw the winner on KSQ in about a month. So you have plenty of time. But don't forget, because a lot of people, here's what I see happen. They sign up right at first. And then I see when a month goes by, they sign up again because they don't remember if they signed up or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I delete those, by the way. Just so you know, you can't sign up twice. You can only sign up once. So they're thinking. And if you thought you got one by me, you didn't. So don't think you did. All right. On that note, that's about it. It's going to wrap it up for this show. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank you for joining me today. We'll see you next week. We'll be back here live as usual. Remember, book your hotel room in Borrego Springs for Borrego Days coming up. And just have a great one. Remember, everyone, I'll see you, like I say, next week. Enjoy traveling with Francoise on TV. And as always, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.